Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
As we go to that North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, and we welcome in from CBS Sports and Westwood One, Ian Eagle joins us on the show. Ian, thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well. We got Freddie Kitchens now in Cleveland. We're excited about it. We'll get your thoughts here in a moment. But you were the guy who, it was you and Dan Fouts, right? And Dan Fouts had asked the question about, how to play with Baker, the offense that Baker was in, and Hugh Jackson answered, yeah, it's a good question. I wish I could tell you. Or he wanted to do something different. In that meeting is what you told us on air a couple of which game was it? I'm not sure, but that was a story you told us just about a month and a half ago.
Yeah, the circumstances surrounding that just happened to be a perfect storm with everything happening and swirling around. That was the last game that Hugh coached as the head man of the Cleveland Browns, and yeah, Dan Fouts, Evan Washburn, and I worked that game. It took on a life of its own, that story. I'm not sure that the details were nearly as salacious as the reaction was, to be perfectly honest. It was an honest reaction in the moment from Hugh, which alluded to me to the idea that he and Todd were not on the same page, and there were a lot of issues behind the scenes. And that obviously was a big part of what was going on with the Browns. Now it's in the rearview mirror. Cleveland's turned the page. That feels like a very distant memory. And I think Browns fans should be and will be excited about what's to come. There's just good vibes around this team right now.
Ian Eagle joined us on the hotline. Obviously, plenty of good vibes with the way they finished the season. Now, the head coach that finished the season, the interim head coach, Greg Williams, was let go. And yesterday, Freddie Kitchens named the head coach. What did you make of that move, and what are you hearing around NFL circles about the fact that he got the promotion?
Yeah, my sense of it is we all create narratives and storylines based on what we know, but it's always incomplete. Unless you're behind the scenes and you're truly privy to the dynamic behind the scenes, you don't really know. You're going off sources. You're going off speculation. The reality is Baker Mayfield and Freddie Kitchens really hit it off. And when you have something building and you feel some momentum and there's a shift inside your facility, that positivity is beginning to really permeate throughout the building. And you can look at the cause and effect. Mayfield's leadership abilities, how guys galvanize around him, his relationship with the offensive coordinator, things fitting together, and the lack of drama, or at least the unnecessary drama that took place in the second half of the year. I think Baker probably brings some of that because of just who he is and how he handles situations. I happen to like it, and sitting down with him, I was really impressed with him, his presence, and how he can command a room. And I'm sure that the team looked at the results and tried to really zone in on what was the reason behind all this. And the fact of the matter is, offensively, they look like a different team. And if that's a sign of what's to come, and there's a real strong bond between the quarterback and the head coach, that's what every team is looking for. So if they already had it, why would you go out and try to reinvent yourself with somebody else? I just think it was the right call. I don't know Freddie Kitchens well enough to tell you definitively that he is ready for this and he's got all the makings. I do know that I trust the people involved to sense that this was the move that had to be made.
You know, a lot of people, Ian, they're telling us, well, we trust in John Dorsey. I don't even know if that's the case. I'd have to think, and you mentioned the quarterback, I'd have to think it's Baker Mayfield that this is on trust with him and Freddie Kitchens and the relationship with him and Freddie Kitchens, that I'm sure you've heard there were probably some big names that probably would have jumped at the chance to coach a good, talented young quarterback, and they went with a guy with they know that that Baker Mayfield is comfortable with.
Yeah, and as you're building a football team, we all have these grandiose ideas of what we would do if we were in that situation. The bottom line is, it's about relationships, and it's about getting the most out of people. There's a lot of talent around the NFL. There are a lot of different ways to win. Stability is the one hallmark that you look at. The teams that have been stable are usually the ones that can consistently win, not just flashes in the pan. As we know, 15 of the last 16 years, a team has gone from worst to first in the NFL. So every year there's a quote-unquote surprise team. But there are certain franchises that are consistent year in, year out. They may not make the playoffs every year, but the quarterback and the head coach are usually the two positions that are accounted for, and there's not a whole lot of fluctuation. If the Browns believe that those two positions are now in the books, check the box, then now you can build your team around that. And you're probably right. Of course, John Dorsey plays a role, ownership plays a role, but sometimes these decisions are made for you, and it seems as if the rank and file within that locker room is going to be behind this. They enjoyed the success. They were a part of it. Why wouldn't you continue building with that, if possible, if you believe that, Freddie Kitchens has the makings and the characteristics necessary to take that next step?
Ian Eagle calling the Chargers-Patriots for Westwood One on Sunday. Speaking of the Patriots, I was somebody who was surprised that John Dorsey never really talked to Josh McDaniels in the past hiring situations. Jimmy Haslam was said to be in love with Josh McDaniels. What do you make of the fact that McDaniels is not going to be head coach and really only interviewed in one spot, the Green Bay Packers?
Yeah, I think what happened a year ago obviously plays a big role in that. Not to say that Josh wasn't getting other offers to come in and interview, but I think he tried to streamline the process. He looked at the jobs that he was truly interested in, and the Green Bay Packer job was the one because of Aaron Rodgers, because of the history. I still believe that if and when Bill Belichick moves on, Josh McDaniels is going to be first on the list to be the head coach. They'll go through the process like every team has to do, but there's just such a deep relationship between the Kraft family and Josh McDaniels and the history that he has with the franchise. So unless he sees something that is going to blow him away and there's mutual interest, I also don't think he's at a stage now where he needs to kick the tires. If he knows that the Patriots job is probably his, if he wants it down the road, you don't have to go on a dating app as a head coach or a potential head coach. So my sense is maybe last year opened his eyes a little bit, how everything went down with the Colts, and he wasn't going to walk down the aisle time and time again as he tried to do in the past.
Ian Eagle joining us on the show. Ian, I'm going to have to bring up something with him at the end of the interview. But for this football team, what do you think are the expectations going into 2019 with Freddie Kitchens and with Baker Mayfield?
Sky high, truly. I think they created a buzz around the NFL based on Mayfield's performance and the creative play calling. Defensively, a lot of young talent, as we know. This roster has improved by leaps and bounds over the last two seasons. I think there's a curiosity with this team, and no longer are the Browns a punchline. And I know Cleveland fans for too long got used to it, and they should change their mindset because the way that they're being viewed around the NFL is completely different than it's been over the last decade plus. This is a new beginning. It's a new start. It's very gratifying as a fan when you make the selection at number one and a year goes by and you feel even better about the pick than the day that you made it, because Mayfield has shown that he can play at this level. He can lead. He's dynamic in that way. And there's just something special about him. So for 2019, if the question is, what are the expectations? The expectations are playoffs and to be relevant again. They've already proven that they're ready for that next stage of being a team, and that is going in expecting to win games and coming out with the right results. To me, This is one of the best times that I can remember in recent history for Browns fans to have legitimate, positive optimism about their franchise.
Ian Eagle joining us on the show. He'll be calling Chargers Patriots for Westwood One on Sunday. Ian, for the play calling aspect of it, are you worried about Freddie Kitchens calling plays with this offense? I know a lot of guys are doing it. I worry just because I know I'm going to have to come in on a Monday and they're going to lose a game. And it starts to snowball, I think, to some fans. Because we did this with Pat Shurmur, is that he called his own plays and he was questioned every week and they were losing. And it became one of the real big problems with a lot of fans out there until they brought in Brad Childress the next year.
Yeah, I mean, look, we can come up with examples on both sides of this. I understand your point entirely, especially if there is a streak that has loss after loss after loss. And now the micro-analysis that goes into specific play calls for the head coach. But the reality is it's under his direction anyway. Sean McVay right now is handling it pretty well in Los Angeles, and the same concerns were out there. You know, the bottom line is you have to put a good team around you. And I'm not talking about just a team of players. I'm talking about support on your coaching staff and game planning and being able to divvy up the roles and not take it all yourself. I think the one key in talking to McVay, and we've had a bunch of their games over the last 2 years, he recognized that he didn't have all the answers as a head coach. He knew it was going to be a big jump from what he was accustomed to. And the fact of the matter is they've been really smart in how they have organized the roles and how they have compartmentalized everything in L.A. That would be a really good model to follow if you're the Cleveland Browns. And administratively moving forward, what Freddie Kitchens needs to do responsibility-wise, media-wise, which will be so much more than he's ever done, and then staying focused on what his job is over the course of the week. And look, the other part of it, defensively, not to say Sean McVay is not involved at all, but he's got Wade Phillips, and there's a lot of trust there. So that's going to be a huge key as well defensively, just knowing that it's not something you have to worry about 24/7. Of course, you're going to pop your head in the meetings, you're going to be a part of it, but that's not going to dominate your thoughts over the course of the 6 days leading up to your 1 o'clock kickoff or 4 o'clock kickoff.
Ian Eagle joining us on the hotline. So the rumors are Adam Gase going to be the next head coach, going to go in the division over to the New York Jets. And there is some talk, Schefter put it out this morning, defensive coordinator, keep an eye on Greg Williams, who ended up leaving Berea yesterday. What kind of a match do you think that is? And do you think Greg got a raw deal by not being able to stick around and continue what he had built?
First part of the equation, Adam Gase, I actually thought it was a really good choice by the Jets. I think he and Sam Darnold will become very close, and there will be a deep connection there. Adam has success working with quarterbacks. That's his bread and butter. You've got a young QB. You've got an innovative offensive mind. To me, this was the best match. I know McCarthy's name came up very early. He made it pretty clear that's the job that he wanted. But I thought Gase Darnold together would be the right match. Greg Williams, as far as Cleveland, look, he did a really good job handling that situation and bringing a sense of confidence to that group that they could be winners and they could be a factor in the playoff chase. You know, deep down, I never felt he was going to get the head coaching job, but you know, you started hearing some rumors towards the end of the season that they liked the vibe around the Browns facility. But the reality is they covered that already with Freddie Kitchens. So to me, they got the best of both worlds. They get to keep going with what they were building, but they do it with the guy that they truly believed in. Whether or not he ends up a legitimate candidate in New York for the defensive coordinator job, that remains to be seen.
All right, Ian, now we're going to get a little geeky here because you and Jim Spernarkle, one of the great tandems in March Madness history, me and my buddies used to rank the teams. We did this. We would rank the broadcast teams, and we always thought you were criminally underrated.
And oh, that's much appreciated. Do you just like saying Spernarkle? Is that what it comes down to?
I could never get it. We used to have a different name for it, but we finally figured it out after all these years. So let me ask you, a big NFL playoff game or opening round of March Madness, opening couple rounds, and you have a Cinderella story. What is your favorite to cover?
Oh, that's rough. Cleveland was one of the best sites I was ever at, with Wake Forest and West Virginia, Mike Gansey, Kevin Pitts.
Yes.
They knocked off Chris Paul and Wake Forest. A tremendous game, double overtime, will stick in the back of my brain for the rest of my life. NFL playoff games, I've been really fortunate to do a bunch on TV and do even more on radio. So there's something about showing up that day. There's a different feeling. There's a different aura around the stadium when you walk in for a playoff game. I would tell you that there's no possible way I'm going to answer that question, but I fully understand that I'm really, really lucky that I get to even be put in that position to be asked it.
Were you ever nervous asking anybody questions when you first started out? Was there a guy who you were nervous asking questions to?
Yeah, my first year with CBS was 98. Now, I had the benefit having known Parcells, but I was never in a production meeting with Parcells. And I had some Jet games that first year. And he was an intimidating figure. You'd walk in there, and he would just go right at you. There was no pause. There was no let's build up to it. He would question your questions in a way that was a little playful, so you knew that he was doing it with a glint in his eye, but also to the point where you better be ready. So he was pretty tough. Tom Coughlin could be intimidating as well. I just feel like with those guys, if you know your stuff, if you're prepared, then the respect will be there. If you're not, they will make you pay. They'll expose you with a bad question or a bad point or a mispronunciation. So those were probably the two early on when you walked in the room. You sensed that you could get dressed down if you weren't ready.
Because I got to admit something. Ian Eagle with us on the show. I'll let you go after this. Thank you very much for the time. But I'm getting blasted by people in Cleveland media right now, which I'm glad we're the show of record in the morning. That makes me feel good. For the first question I asked you, and I got to admit, we've had you on a handful of times. We've had Jim Nantz on. We've had Mike Tirico on. We've had all these guys on, and you're the one I get nervous about, and I can't ask a question. And the first question I asked you, hey, you remember that time? Like, I remember that time you were talking, and it was you and Dan Fouts, and I sound like a total idiot.
Chris Farley, baby.
Yeah. That time where you were saying words, and then they came out, and then we heard them, and then you said more. Yeah. It was all good.
Thank you very much for being patient. And I swear to God in the future, because now it's out there. Hopefully it'll be better. Because that first question, you have to be, what are you doing on a Thursday morning at 9 in the morning to talk to some moron who's asking you about Hugh Jackson at the very beginning? So I
remember when...
Exactly.
You remember when you're... That was awesome.
I will say, I thank you very much for the time. You are wonderful. I will be better in the future.
All right, guys.
Thank you very much. Ian Eagle.
Great talking to you.
He's
like, I got to get out.
With us on the show.
Like, was I on in Binghamton, New York?
More after this. I can't. I've never been more nervous to talk to anybody than Ian Eagle.
We got
to
replay that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.